2009, Harry Callis. Rest in peace. The game. Philadelphia Phillies 9, Washington Nationals 8 at Nationals Park in Washington, D.C. The attendance 40,386 on Monday, April 13th, 2009. The weather, 50s and breezy. Hall of Famers, none as of March 2022. Future Hall of Famers, maybe Phillies second baseman Chase Utley, who will be eligible in 2024. Game highlights. While the Philadelphia Phillies came into the day still celebrating their 2008 World Series championship, this opening day would prove to be unlike any other, as the Phillies would end up playing the game with the heaviest of hearts. Meanwhile, the struggling Nationals were looking for their first win of 2009 after losing their first six games in Miami and Atlanta. With 46-year-old pitcher Jamie Moyer starting for the Phillies, Nationals fans were hopeful. But a pair of Washington errors led to three unearned runs in the first five innings, wasting an otherwise decent outing for Nats starter Daniel Cabrera. The baseball left the yard frequently, three home runs for each team, including a ninth-inning two-run shot by Washington's Ryan Zimmerman off All-Star closer Brad Lidge. But Lidge quickly retired the next three batters to earn the save, just as he had done 6 months earlier in the decisive Game 5 of the World Series. The Nationals fell to 0-7, a perfect start to a season that would see Washington lose more than 100 games for the second straight year. The story. I lingered too long at a pregame social event, so by the time I got to my seat on opening day 2009, the Phillies had already been introduced and were lined up along the third base line as I slid past standing fans to get to a seat in the middle of Section 116. After the Nationals were introduced, public address announcer Jerome Hruschka shared shocking news that rocked the baseball world. His voice cracked with genuine personal emotion as he requested a moment of silence for Harry Callis. The legendary voice of Phillies baseball for nearly four decades had died of a heart attack just a short time earlier in his broadcast booth at Nationals Park. Pre-game moments of silence are always somber and respectful. This one was jarring. I was stunned, as were many around me. As I looked down at the Phillies players less than 100 yards away, it was clear these men were deeply shaken. Many Phillies fans unable to get tickets for their team's banner raising and ring ceremonies at Citizens Bank Park a week earlier had made the trip to Washington to extend their celebration. As I glanced around, it was clear most of the Philadelphia fans already knew of Harry's sudden passing and had been sharing it among themselves, jersey to jersey. News must have traveled fast by phone, text, and word of mouth over the previous hour. Many Nationals fans, only four full seasons into baseball's rebirth in their city, knew of the legend of Harry the K and were stunned. They were respectful, but not fully aware of the emotional bond between the Philly faithful and Harry, the only voice of the Phillies most had ever known. Back in Philadelphia, radio listeners heard the news with even more emotion from one of Harry's broadcast partners, Scott Fransky. The Philadelphia Phillies have lost their voice. Nationals management was prepared to call off the game and send more than 40,000 fans home if the Phillies felt they could not play under these extraordinarily difficult circumstances. "There's no manual for what to do in these circumstances that close to the beginning of a game," Nationals president Stan Kasten shared with Chico Harlan of the Washington Post. "Ultimately, it was our call, but we wanted to know the wishes of the Phillies before we decided, and I'm sure we could have acceded to their wishes if they felt strongly, and especially if the players felt strongly." Phillies president David Montgomery said the team was appreciative for the Nationals' sensitivity, quote, "but Harry would have wanted us to play." Few announcers were as close to the players as Harry Callis was to his Phillies, then in his 39th season at the microphone. When he slapped a distinctive moniker on a player, it stuck, and each one loved it. Just ask the man, Chase Utley, or Hall of Fame icon of the 1970s and 80s, Michael Jack Schmidt. Later in his career, players welcomed Harry into the locker room celebrations, most notably after winning the 1993 National League pennant, to lead a chorus of his signature song, Frank Sinatra's version of High Hopes. Harry's rendition is still played at Citizens Bank Park after every home win. Where else would he go but in the ballpark and in the announcer's booth? Asked an emotional John Kruk that night on Baseball Tonight. Kruk, at the time, was an ESPN analyst who also played for the Phillies from 1989 to 94 and was a member of that 93 pennant winner. Like most Phillies players of that era, Kruk was very close to Callis. That's where he belonged. That's where his life was. Harry's rich baritone voice, fine-tuned by good whiskey and bad cigarettes, resonated both inside and outside of Philadelphia. On the national stage, Harry had served as the voice of Inside the NFL since 1975 and as the primary voice of NFL films after the passing of John Facenda in 1984. Even non-sports fans couldn't escape Harry's voice on commercials for everything from soup to trucks to video games. The dark logic of the fitting location of Harry's passing, so clearly expressed by Kruk, was also baseball poetry. The first baseball team he fell in love with as a 10-year-old boy was the Washington Senators. Harry grew up on the south side of Chicago. One rainy afternoon in 1946, his dad took him to Comiskey Park for a game between two middle-of-the-pack teams, the host White Sox and the visiting Senators. Harry and his dad sat right next to the visitor's dugout. He would tell the story often of his chance encounter with Washington's all-star first baseman and best player of that era.
"Because of the rains, the field was covered," Harry explained. "There was no batting practice, so the players really didn't have anything to do. Mickey Vernon popped out of the dugout, saw this wide-eyed kid, me, picked me up, took me into the dugout, gave me a baseball, introduced me to his teammates, and thus began my love of baseball and the Washington Senators."
Harry's love of the game and his one-of-a-kind voice combined to deliver a Hall of Fame career. After six seasons with the Houston Astros, Harry joined the Phillies in 1971 as they opened their brand-new Veterans Stadium. In a city not known for welcoming outsiders, he became as much a part of the fabric of Philadelphia as cheesesteaks and the Liberty Bell. From 1971 to 97, Harry partnered on Phillies broadcasts with adored former Phil and fellow Hall of Famer Richie Whitey Ashburn. Neil Hartman's narration of Comcast Sportsnet's tribute to Harry described their antics in words that stirred nostalgic hearts. "Callis and Ashburn rivaled any long-running Broadway act. They performed from April to September for 27 years, and their shows, like the games themselves, were never predictable." When the Phillies won the World Series in 1980, then-current MLB broadcast rules precluded home team announcers from calling the games. The outrage from Phillies fans led to a rule change less than 2 years later. So when the Phillies won it again in 2008 over Tampa Bay, just 5 months before his passing, Harry finally had the opportunity he had been dreaming of for a lifetime. His call of Brad Lidge's final pitch of the World Series has been repeated by Phillies fans ever since.
"The 0-2 pitch! Swing and a miss! Strike him out! The Philadelphia Phillies are 2008 World Champions of Baseball!"
Callis's outgoing, gregarious personality was contagious. He loved talking baseball with anyone. In recent years, that included the Washington Nationals' hero-worshipping stadium announcer Hruska, the memorable voice that broke the news to us of Harry's passing. "When I was 6 years old, I made recordings of myself calling Yankees games," Hruska says modestly. "When I got the Nationals job in 2007, I was the youngest stadium announcer in baseball. Whenever the Phillies came to town, Harry and I would have dinner. I was awestruck. Harry was my idol, and for him to take me under his wing and talk baseball, I can't describe it. It was unbelievable." More than a decade later, Hruška still remembers every detail of that painful opening day. We had just finished our pregame production meeting. There was some commotion down the hall. I asked my boss what was going on. He said, "Medical issue, one of the announcers." Hruška sprinted toward the Phillies broadcast booth. When he saw Harry, his Eagle Scout instincts took over. Hruška dropped to his knees and began performing chest compressions on his fallen hero until the paramedics arrived minutes later. Harry was gone. The shaken Hruška returned to his post where he was drawn into the, what should we say, conversations. As the ballpark's voice, his perspective mattered. Together with the team's communications departments, they cobbled together appropriate words to form a script that would honor Harry's special place in the game. They would then ask for a moment of silence. But Hruška was still struggling. "I'm not sure I can do this," he told his boss. "I just had my hands on the chest of my hero, and now I have to tell 40,000 people he's gone?" Like Harry's broadcast partners and the Phillies players, Hruška overcame the emotional hurdle. That night in Philadelphia, Michael Barkan opened a somber post-game telecast on Comcast Sportsnet, choking back tears with a tribute fans in any city would appreciate. "This program is not about the game that just finished. There are 162 of those. This program tonight is about the sounds of summer, the soundtrack of our lives. Burgers sizzling on the grill, children shrieking with joy at a swimming pool, seagulls and waves at the shore, and always nearby, the voice of our summers, the voice of Phillies baseball, Harry Callis. Hall of Fame voice. Great man. That voice is silent tonight." For the box score and play-by-play, visit openingday5050.com.